Hey, everybody. This is Chris Retz from Three Blind Drinks, bringing you part one of a special bonus episode featuring Jack, Billy, and Matt drinking five sherry cask whiskeys. I'll let Jack explain why I'm not in this one, but as someone who literally had no hand in putting this one together, I think I can somewhat objectively say that you are in for a treat. This is going to be a two-parter. Part one will be the tasting of the five whiskeys, and then part two, generally speaking, will be in a couple of weeks, and that has the fellas trying to figure out which whiskey is which, and in my opinion, it's a lot of fun. In the new year, we are going to bring you a wrap-up episode. That is a wrap-up of season one, and in that episode, we're going to give you some exciting news about the future of Three Blind Drinks, as well as a little bit of information about how you can become involved in the shenanigans here at the podcast. Anyways, more on that later, but until then, please enjoy part one of this sherry cask special bonus episode. And as always, drink slowly and get to know each other.
All right, so this is Three Blind Drinks. We're going to probably be a special bonus extras episode. We were supposed to record this in July because Chris was in Hawaii, and this was going to be the excuse that we didn't have Chris on the show. It's now August. Chris is back, and he's also not here.
Good.
So joining me today are Billy from the last episode.
Hello, everyone.
And Matt, who picked the whiskeys on the episode that Billy was on.
I was the voice on the phone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you've been on the podcast.
Technically.
Before you were on the podcast. Mm-hmm.
Just like I was the first person to be on the podcast before I was on the podcast. So let's be clear. You're following my footsteps.
Okay. The scoff was worth all of that.
That got all the response it deserved.
All right. So today we did it a little differently because the three of us have been obsessed with sherry cask. Billy for probably the longest. Me fresher to the whole sherry cask phenomenon. So we do know kind of what these whiskeys are, but we don't know what each other brought to the table. So we kind of have an idea, but we kind of don't. And we also don't know the order. So this will be fun because we all maybe have experience with these whiskeys, but we now may not know what order we're having them. So it might be confusing and you might like something that you didn't like before.
Yep. I have one of these that I profess to be my favorite potential whiskey. And I'm really nervous. I'm not going to like it in this taste.
That's how it's going to work.
And I mean, being sherry cask finished, they pretty much all look the same color wise. I think maybe this one, the one in the bigger bottle, looks slightly lighter to me, but I really can't tell.
That one looks a little bit more red to me, but it also might be the light where I'm sitting.
Right. Yeah. We got a little backlit. So let's jump in. All right. So we have whiskey number one.
Whiskey number one.
And we are breaking all the rules because we have five whiskeys today. So hold on tight.
Breaking the rules of propriety.
My friend, after we released the first episode, was like, I like in the first episode you had two people and four whiskeys and you're called Three Blind Drinks.
Hashtag math.
Yeah, math. Just divide by two, you're fine.
So they put this in my mouth now.
You can smell, drink, talk, whatever you want to do. Mm. It comes off out of the glass to me. It's smelling like high alcohol.
Yeah. Yep. It's boozy.
Mm-hmm.
Get apple.
Ooh, yeah.
On the nose.
Red or green?
I think red apple.
I think red apple too. Like almost the peel of the red apple. Like when you bite into it.
But it definitely smells boozy.
Yeah. Feels, I mean, we do kind of know generally. It definitely feels like one of the bourbons. Just on the nose. Taste boozy.
Yep, it's definitely a little hot.
Oh, it's nice though.
It is. It's like the initial finish is hot and then it just turns into a whole bunch of really good flavor.
Yeah, it's really nice. Like it lasts and it coasts really nicely. Like it doesn't just stick around.
Which I think is the sherry, right? Yeah. I mean, that's sort of like the universal experience of anything good that's sherry casked.
So last time we were doing our exploration of sherry cask, mm-hmm. we were at Seven Grand together. Mm-hmm. And Matt bought the most expensive shot or second most expensive shot he's ever bought.
Well, with tip, it was $120, which could have been just a really nice bottle.
Yeah, right.
Probably that bottle.
Yeah, probably.
But it was 88 before that.
Jeez.
Or thereabouts.
That is a question on tipping.
Kettle on.
Yeah. If you buy a shot that is $88 and somebody pours you a shot, are you obligated to tip them 20% on an $88 shot?
That's a good question.
I fucked up. Wait, is this explicit?
Yeah.
Okay, then I fucked up. And think about that. I'm a slave to the rules of propriety. You are.
I mean, I understand, right? Because if somebody makes me a really nice cocktail.
Yeah.
But, or here's an example. I go to this coffee shop. And sometimes I'll get a pour over that costs $4, in which case I'll tip. But sometimes I get a batch brew that costs $4, and I'm not tipping if you press down a lever that makes my coffee come out.
This is funny. I had the same experience recently where the place I bought coffee was $2.75, and I always tipped $1 just because it felt right, right? They upped the price to $3. Now tipping to make it $4 feels like insurmountable and ridiculous. Like, I'm not paying $4 for drip coffee.
Would you give them 75 cents?
I probably would. Yeah, I would probably pay the same that I've been paying for years.
But you'd feel less good about it because you're contributing a quarter less.
Why'd you enter other amounts, 75 for 75 cents?
Oh, they always know. They watch where your finger goes.
Yeah, right? It's like, what are you doing? What do you guys think of the taste?
So I added some water.
You did?
And I think I burnt my mouth the first time. It just feels diminished. I haven't tasted any. You should try it. I haven't tasted any new flavors yet.
I feel like a red apple.
Yep. Red
caramelized
apple.
Like
caramel apple is a pretty good caramel description.
Apple, yeah. I was gonna say caramelized apple because I guess I'm stuck on apple, but like it's just, yeah, maybe like caramel, even caramel corn a little bit.
The oak is so present for me. Whatever they,
yeah,
the sherry cask, the cask that they age it in is so present for me.
Yeah,
I just want to keep drinking this.
I think it's going to be an experience all the way through.
God damn, that's good.
What do you like about it? Like, what? How did you get into sherry cask?
The way I got into it is I tried one and I went, "Holy shit, that's good." I think because, like, one of the things that I don't like about whiskey sometimes is that it's really hot and it can be really harsh on the end. But if you don't make it at a high enough ABV, then it stops being as interesting and as flavorful. And I think the sherry cask, you can still have it hot. It can give you that intense flavor. And then the sherry comes through right as that harshness should come through and balances everything out. Like, to me, this is how whiskey should be done. It just makes more sense to put them in sherry cask because it produces a better product.
It's complimentary. It's like putting a Chardonnay in an oak barrel, right?
It actually enhances
the flavor in a way that pairs beautifully.
You have those people that love Chardonnay from just the vats where they don't ever put them in oak.
Exactly. They want them clean.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like the difference in like taste, right? It's like it's a very similar experience. Like a good oak Chardonnay feels similar to this,
but you find the right balance because you don't want to be eating oak chips or it being too buttery because then you don't actually taste the wine. It's just that it's less complex.
Yeah. So water ruined it for you?
No, it didn't ruin it for me. I mean,
we can re-pour you without water too if you feel like you watered down.
No. I think this was right. I think watering this down, adding a few drops is right. No, okay. I do that for all my whiskeys, but.
I'm really hesitant to water this because I just think it's great.
So we generally know the 5. So this to me is reminding me of the last time I had Midsummer Night's Dram. This whiskey is reminding me of that. So I don't know if that's what this is. We know that that's one of the ones on the table.
Yep.
That's sherry?
Yep.
Apparently. I didn't realize it was sherry.
It might be port. If it's port, then I've aired and ruined the entire podcast.
Well,
but I think we're still in the same.
Time you've ruined it.
Yes, that's true. Every podcast and counting. Yeah, we can call it the dessert wine.
Right.
Dessert wine whiskey.
This is nice. I'm struggling to come up with anything other than like caramel apple. Oak is nice.
It is just caramel apple. It's like you just bit into a really, really good caramel apple. I mean, maybe a little more brown sugar than kind of an apple carries, but that's kind of subsumed in the caramel, I suppose. But yeah, it's just really damn good. Like, oftentimes I try whiskey and I'm like, this is a really good whiskey, but I wouldn't want to sit and just have a glass of it. Yeah. This, I don't want to give up. I'm just like, I don't care about the rest of this tasting. I just want to keep drinking this.
We both looked at Matt simultaneously as he pondered.
I'm looking at the color. Which one did this come out of?
That was this one.
Ooh, I have an idea that I want to do.
What's that?
So I don't want to finish all this now because I want to, and I kind of want to do an infinity bottle with all these sherry casks as I go.
Good idea.
So I'm going to snag a cup and I'm going to have a pour.
I'll do the same.
Because I think that would be, and we'll end up with different blends because we will have drank different amounts.
We've quickly moved on to number two.
Yeah. I feel like we set a time record there, right?
I know. I feel like we're just anxious to keep going.
Well, and the first one was like, I don't know what to say about this other than it's delicious and it tastes like caramel apples. It smells lighter to me.
Oh, yeah. It's like, to me, there's more.
There's a menthol.
Yes. Yeah.
I get a lot of burn in my nose from this one.
Oh, cherry. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is the strand of hand, the hand in hands.
I think so, too.
That would make sense.
Which I don't think I've ever had, but just from the labeling and the bottling and like everything about it.
Yeah. And Stranahan's itself is like a little bit of a harsh whiskey. I mean, in a good way, but like it's an aggressive.
It's hot.
Oh, you're not going to like this. I like this a lot. As he goes to drink, I tell him.
I almost like spit this up everywhere.
How did you get into whiskey and tasting things like this, Matt?
I like that.
Lived with a bunch of pretentious assholes.
Woo.
Like that one.
Uh-huh.
Where this was the fun thing, which finding weird pretentious boozes. Not pretentious, but like
we were
pretentious. Finding things that were out of reach or abnormal for a bunch of rugby college guys to be drinking when you think we'd be swilling just Jameson and Killian's, which we did. But finding these other things. So it started in college of finding interesting things and then being pretentious about it and trying to find something that other people hadn't had and have an opinion on something that other people didn't have an opinion on yet. And then, one of those, guys that we lived with, you know, he went off on his own and we went to his house and he had 9,000 bottles of whiskey. And so we spent one night just like going through it. And I think that, laid an impression on me of how to drink whiskey, how to, what the different blends mean, you know, what's wheated versus bourbon versus a rye versus whatever. So that was kind of my trail. And I also had a job with, and I did market research. Mm. So I did ethnography with this, an anthropologist. And he was also, he had been a chef in San Francisco, came back, got an anthropology, like became a doctor of anthropology and then started working in for a marketing firm. So I worked under him. And so this is a thing we would do, especially when we were traveling, doing research, which was we would go to a whiskey bar and he'd, you know, talk about Keats poetry or Clifford Geertz, the raw, or that's Levi Strauss. He'd be talking about, you know, dead people and waxing philosophic while drinking these things and then quizzing me on, you know, what did I have? Kind of like we're doing here. Yeah. So that was my entree into this.
You know what I always think about when I think about the sort of roommate Ben, the one that he was talking about that went out on his own and bought 9,000 bottles of whiskey as an adult.
I have to say he has a problem.
Yeah, well, he has plenty of problems. So I just don't know that that's one of them. when one of the traditions on the rugby team is when you're a senior, you get a bottle. The team buys you a bottle of something, and almost everybody gets Jameson because that's what our, you know, rugby team that was always at an Irish bar drank. And I remember Ben got a bottle of port. So if you can imagine a guy that was captain of a college rugby team who selected a bottle of port as his senior send-off bottle.
That's funny.
That pretty much nails down what we're talking about in our household. Also, this is fantastic.
Yeah, I was wrong. You love it.
I think it lends to my theory. What I was talking about is that I like the heat on the front. I don't like the heat on the back. And the sherry really mellows the heat on the back and makes it flavorful and interesting. And this is great.
So my second sip was like a different whiskey. My second sip was like all cherry and like cooked down sugars and just like really sweet and approach. Like, I hate that word approachable. Mostly because we use it too much on the podcast, but like it is super approachable. And it's just like the first sip was like, don't drink this. And the second sip was like, everything's going to be fine. So I acclimated to it really quickly and I really, really like it.
Yeah. It is really cherry.
Yeah.
I mean, there is a lot.
There's a tartness to it when you talk about the cherry.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know. I want to say like, if you had cherry pie in like graham cracker crust. Like the filling of cherry pie, but you had that kind of grainy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is really good. I like this for the same reason that I think like things like Yellow Spot.
And oh, yeah.
It falls into that category for me where it's like bigger flavor on the front as opposed to being bigger on the back. It's not so much of like the brown sugar, caramel, sweet richness at the end. It's just sort of this really good, I don't know, more upfront. Aggressive flavor, but then it finishes with just such good cherry. This is just so good.
We already forgot, like, the only thing we do on this podcast is to name the whiskeys.
Oh, yeah.
Which is like the kryptonite when Billy's here.
So we think the first one is, are we going to make up a name?
Make up a name. Okay. So the obvious name would be like Big Apple, but that seems kind of lame.
Caramel Apple Empanada.
That's good.
Yeah.
It is an empanada.
It's a caramel apple empanada, which happens to be my favorite phrase in all of language. It's a Taco Bell dessert, but if you say it, it is caramel apple empanada.
Caramel apple.
No, you just ruined the whole thing. The whole reason that phrase works is caramel apple empanada. You just have to say it. If you're listening to this, say it out loud and you will buy into what I'm saying.
Well, I'll say it together with you right now.
Yeah.
Caramel apple. Oh, God. Wait, what would we name the first one?
No, that's the first one.
That was the... Yes. So this one would be...
This is like a McDonald's cherry pie.
I was going to go Chandler Bing Cherry.
Nice.
I like that.
I was like just that. Going with
because it's a little
desserts.
Sour.
It is a little bit sour. It's got a tiny bit of...
That's a Chandler Bing sass.
Yeah, it's got the sass.
Yeah.
It's coming back at you.
Could it be any more sherry?
I see what you did there. Mm.
God, that is so good.
It also washes away the pain. Not film, but the, you know, when you have some whiskey and then it sits on your tongue and then anybody else get this or am I?
No, keep going.
Keep
please.
Going. You're right. Absolutely.
The ectoplasm of the, of the ghost of the whiskey you had prior. And then this kind of has cut through it and washed it away. It's a different, I don't know if it's alcohol content or what, but.
Yeah, like, so it's I think clean. That was, for me, this first sip was the, was that moment of like, wait, does this work with what I just had? Mm-hmm. And then it like, it all evens out and you're okay. Yeah, it's really good. So,
honestly, sorry to interrupt you.
No.
Something to do is try a sip of your seltzer water and then come back to it. It drastically changes it. Like, there is an element to this where you acclimate. And the experience kind of melds together.
Yeah.
And that was like a reset button.
Yep. I'm back to the first sip.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's interesting. So maybe seltzer is a good like palate cleanser.
Yeah.
Is that documented anywhere?
Scoured clean.
Probably an article on the internet why it's a terrible palate cleanser.
Yep. And why it hurts your everything.
Yeah.
It's bad for your teeth, right?
I don't think that's true.
I don't have any teeth.
So is alcohol.
All right. We are moving quick. You guys want to keep
We'll slow down as the alcohol takes an effect. And we had more than three bottles, so we got to rush through the two.
No, that's good. I like it. Can I have a little bit of the water?
Please.
Yeah, I should probably rinse
I don't think I could pick a favorite between those two.
No, they are and different.
They're so different. They're so like...
Second one.
You like the second one?
Second one had more character.
Interesting.
I like the sass.
Yeah.
You're Chandler Bing. They're both good though. I like... And I like... I was worried in doing this that everything would taste the same. Right? Because it's all sherry and sherry cask has its specific thing.
Well, I know one will taste distinctly different.
As do I.
And I really hope I catch it.
Yeah. God, that is always the fear. I mean, it is real to sit there and think that you have opinions on things and to be afraid that your opinions are not real, that you are actually contributing.
Or my impression. So one of these, should I talk about this?
Yeah, sure.
You can edit this out. One of these isn't a sherry whiskey. It's a sherried whiskey. And so I know which one that is. Can I pick it out of a lineup?
And what's the difference between sherry whiskey and sherried whiskey?
So sherry whiskey is aged in a sherry cask. Right. So let's pull out the devil's cut from the barrel.
Yeah.
The sherried whiskey has actual sherry that's poured into it.
Right. So we'll see if we can pick it out.
Yeah.
Time will tell, as they say.
Have you ever drank cooking sherry?
I've tried it, I think, because I wanted to know.
It's salty.
Oh, I don't remember that about it. Maybe
if you get cooking sherry from the grocery store, one, I think if you try to get drunk off of it, you would die. It's like drinking seawater. But it's super good if you cook like any meat in sherried whiskey or sherried cooking sherry.
My only context for sherried and sherry is like English shows that happen to have like a priest, because all priests apparently drink sherry. Like that's a thing.
It's a thing. That is a weird. British thing.
Well, I, that's my only context for it. So like we watched this show on Amazon Prime. It was like called Grantchester, and his whole thing was he drank whiskey while every other priest ever drank sherry. So they would all be like, oh, do you want a sherry? You know, priest, whatever they call them. I don't remember. Probably Grantchester.
Vicar.
Well, we have his middle ground now.
Yeah.
This is where he could have existed.
This smells like caramel pudding.
Yeah.
Will you stop saying caramel? Oh,
this has got the puddingness to it, though. Like the milky cooked down egg or whatever that is.
Put the milk with the Cocoa Puffs.
Yeah, whatever comes milky, out of milky a Cocoa snack Puffs. Pack.
Yeah. I like the smell of this. This one smells more like the first one. Empanada Caramel Town.
Empanada Caramel Town.
Rolls off the tongue. It's fascinating that these are all sherried whiskeys, like, because they all already taste so different and smell so different.
This.
I don't know what was all brought to the table. I don't know. I know three of the five.
Right.
And I know. Poured. But two? I don't know the other two.
I know two or three. No, I know like four. No, I know all five.
Yeah, you should.
The longer I think about it, I can start to put it together. But off the top of my head, I think I only know three, right?
I don't think you guys know the two I brought to the table. I intentionally tried to keep it, you know, at arm's length.
My initial reaction to this is that I don't like it as much as the other two.
Yeah. It's less complex.
Yeah, it is just pretty simple. It's certainly good. Like, I would not be unhappy if I got this. And I think it really, if you gave it to me not on the heels of the two prior things that I drank, I'd be really happy with it. But in comparison, I just don't.
I think this one would stand up better in a cocktail, because I think the flavors are a little bit more forward. So like they're initial and like they hit you, and in a cocktail, I feel like that would be appropriate. Mm-hmm. Whereas the other ones, I feel like because they finish so interesting, like that would get lost in like a cocktail.
I like this best.
You do?
I do. I like the flavor in the front. especially when you add a little water to it and it opens it up. Mm. And you're right, the back end isn't quite as lingering.
But what about the very, very, very back end? But there's
less burning.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so to me, this is smoother and I actually taste more with or without the water.
I feel like there's like, you could draw like a learning curve graph. Mm-hmm. And the first two are very steep and then they go long. And this one is like very shallow learning curve where it's like pretty easy, but it's might even be longer than the other two. Like it just keeps going and it's kind of floats for a while.
Like I'm not sure I would have picked this out as a sherry cask, except that now that it's been, I don't know, 30 seconds, 45 seconds since I've had anything, if I sit there with just sort of my tongue on the roof of my mouth, it tastes really strongly of like sherry and fruit. Mm-hmm.
It does. And we're back to that ectoplasm where there's a heaviness in my mouth.
Mm. Yeah, great. Tasting Matt's ectoplasm. Couldn't be happier.
Sherry cask.
So I did the seltzer wash, if you will.
Mm,
and it made me appreciate this more. I think this one is... We didn't really give any notes on what it tastes like. Like it's more puddingy, caramely.
Yeah. From the aroma, without the assault in your nostrils.
Yeah.
To the taste, which in consistency and mouthfeel. Is this actually going to do anything?
Are there I don't know. I don't put it out in stereo. So
you don't?
No.
I want whiskey ASMR. I don't know where I was going with that.
Sounds.
It has a pudding-like consistency via the ectoplasm in my mouth.
Yeah.
Yes. I get definitely more refined sugar off of this. Like I taste the sugar as I drink it. And it reminds me of what I said about the first one when I was rinsing out my glass with extra water and I drank the water at the end.
Interesting.
Like that's my reaction. Yeah. It tastes good. I like it, but I definitely get more simple flavors. It is smooth. It is consistent. It's just not, it doesn't call to me.
Hmm. Interesting.
So I'm going to hold off guessing until the end.
Good. Be different.
Yeah.
Be unique. Be yourself.
Don't do that. That's the only thing you shouldn't do.
Don't be yourself.
I've known him for a long time.
Yeah. That's almost impeachable on your own character.
Certainly, like unquestionably.
I'm going to enjoy having the last, individual infinity glass.
Mine's going to be very heavy on the one I don't like.
Was that number three?
Yeah. And it's not that I don't like it. It's just not.
What do you want to call number three?
Boring.
No, Matt liked it.
Sherry pudding.
Yeah.
Sherry pudding.
Yeah.
Let's see that. Now it could have been sherried pudding. We'll see.
Yeah.
I'm waiting until the end.
To me, it's like, so Matt and I have started trying to learn to bodyboard and we've gone out when there have been like pretty non-interesting, pretty mediocre, like waves, very mellow. And we've gone out when it's been really rough and you've got thrown about. That was the very calm wave.
Yeah.
You know, get kind of what you expect. It's like, I don't know, Shallow Tide Tuesday. That would be my name.
No.
That's fun.
So.
I have a lot of salt water in my sinuses right now. It's not great.
So that's sherry pudding.
I think so.
Yeah, I agree. It smells of pudding for sure.
It definitely does.
And then like the sherry is very present like throughout, I thought so.
Do you have like a nostalgia? I have a nostalgia attached to butterscotch pudding, which is kind of what that was, right?
Yeah, had that same kind of feel.
Yeah, I loved it. It was always like the bastard pudding that nobody wanted. They wanted the chocolate or the chocolate vanilla swirl.
Right.
I love butterscotch pudding.
Yeah. The butterscotch.
Yeah.
I didn't really realize how much I love butterscotch until we went to Harry Potter World and we had the butterbeer.
Yeah.
And it's like heavy butterscotch, right? And I love those. Like, I should not love them as much as I do, but like sometimes you know, like you get two or whatever, and somebody's like, oh, I've had it. This is way too sweet for me. And I'm like, I'll take it. Anything you like, I'll have them all. Give me, butterscotch is my thing.
Well, it hits on two of your alligator brain desires, right? It's salty and it's sweet.
Yeah.
You've got butterscotch pudding when you're a child. You've got butterscotch whiskey when you're a little older. You've got salted caramel for your dessert.
Yep.
And then when you're old, you got Werther's Original.
Yeah.
It's all the same flavor profile for different sets of teeth.
There's like Werther's in this last one we just had.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of Werther's definitely in there.
I do think the pudding is spot on because like pudding is like, its consistency is the same as its flavor profile. It is the same thing all the way through, right? And this is that.
Yep. All right. You guys ready to move on?
Yeah.
Number four, we're plowing through these. Like,
I want to make a pact. I want to come all together again in like 30 years, 40. So when do you think you will have less teeth?
Fewer.
Fewer. Shit.
I don't know. I feel like the teeth problem in America.
Mm-hmm.
Is less dire than it was 20 or even 30 years ago. Like, I don't know about your grandparents, but they probably have dentures, right?
No.
My granny, 100% dentures.
Really?
All the way. And I feel like that's unique to that generation. Like, I mean, she just turned 90, so maybe she's a little bit older, but like,
sure.
I feel like I will always have these teeth, and maybe that's naive.
Well, in the off chance that we lose all of our teeth and we have dentures, or we get veneers and we're filed down like alligator people without them. I want to taste whiskey and see if that has an impact. Does it have an impact?
In the teethness of it?
Yeah.
That's interesting. I've never thought how do your teeth interact with your whiskey?
Am I high? I'm not high. These are my thoughts.
I like it.
How did you come up with that?
I was just wondering, what are the things in your mouth besides your tongue and probably the pH level of your saliva that impacts your taste? Also, how much can you smell at any given point in time?
Right. Smell is huge, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Smell, which is most of it.
Why this whole saltwater situation I have is less than ideal.
You haven't invited a chemist on to my knowledge, and there's not one here now, so I don't know, but does the flora in your mouth or the makeup of your teeth or the fact that I have a permanent retainer, does that do anything to my taste to make me taste something that you don't taste?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, my grandfather was a chemist. That doesn't mean I know anything.
I stayed at a Holiday Inn Express last night.
Exactly.
I know exactly which one this is.
You do?
I'm pretty sure.
I had the exact same reaction, but I don't know. That's interesting. All right, what do you think of this? The nose, as they say.
Raisins. Sultanas, if you're British. Or watch British Bake Off.
I get kind of nothing.
Yeah, I don't get anything on the nose.
What? Yeah.
I get a lot on the taste. My teeth are not involved. Oh, close your mouth. I think that helps. Or maybe you already did that. I get more raisin when I close my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Or something, you know, sweet.
I think this is sherried.
Mm. He breaks his rule, he tells us.
I think
this is...
I'll give an update at the end.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think this is sherried. Although now I'm having the Billy conundrum, which is I know at least some of these and I know what they taste like, but I haven't tasted that yet. Does that mean I don't know what I know?
Yeah. I think it does. This is hot. This is hot in the way that I don't like.
Really?
Yeah. I get a lot of burn on the back end of that and nothing to taper it with.
Yeah, there's a little bit more burn on the back, even with a little water in it.
Yep.
And so you're not getting your sherry, like, mellow.
No, I definitely would not have picked this out as a sherry. I can taste it on the front end knowing what it is, but I know that if you had not told me, I would not have said, oh, this is a sherried whiskey.
Hmm.
This is sharper, more acute in the flavor profile overall, and definitely more not that butterscotch caramel sweetness of some of the other ones.
Yeah, but
this is almost a little grapey.
Yeah, it is a little grapey,
which
yeah.
lends me to believe
you think sherried,
right? Yeah.
That's interesting because I know that one of the ones I brought to the table is a scotch, and so those flavors that you're describing. makes me think that this is a scotch and not a bourbon.
Maybe.
So like, you know, our empanada of Carmeltown to me was like caramel and a bourbon, right? And then this one, the cherry was like, oh yeah, also a bourbon. Mm-hmm. And then when we got to the number three, I don't, it, to me, because it was so just like even, that made me think it was sherried. That's where I was coming at. I thought that was your Rieger or whatever. Is that the name of it?
Yeah, Rieger.
I thought that was the one that was sherried.
I mean, I know
it makes sense, right? Like if you add literal sherry to it, you're going to get the sherry all the way through.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a lower ABV.
Yep.
I mean, I guess not. I guess you could control.
Yeah,
you could
it was involuntary. Yeah.
Yeah.
You just, an active listener.
You're so used to agreeing with me. You can't help yourself. I think I'm tending toward the scotch point of view on this.
Add some water.
Oh, yeah. I haven't really done the water.
Yeah, that's a good idea. It is hot.
I don't think this is hot, but I tend to not notice.
What is the common link for you guys?
The common link between these?
Is there a through line at least through three? Knowing this is our fourth one, but it seems unique.
I think the mellowing of what feels like a high ABV, but the finish like carries out this sweet note that is almost indescribable. It like it's not necessarily a sweet flavor. It's more like a sweet feeling where it like just kind of flows longer. And I feel like that's what sherry brings to the table.
I will fully second that. That was a good description. What about you, Matt?
I couldn't tell you what the through line is. And I love sherry whiskey. But I think having gone through four things now, I think I love... I have loved those individual bottles.
Yeah.
Consistently. I've consistently loved all the sherried whiskeys that I've had.
Yeah.
But I couldn't tell you specifically why.
Hmm.
Other than the Rieger.
Right.
Which to me has a specific, because it is sherried, not sherry. Yeah.
Yeah, Matt, you were right with the water on this. I think the water.
It helps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really good. I mean, it's not, I think it's jarring given the difference from the other ones and kind of where my expectations were. But if I kind of reframe my expectation to like, oh, like let's try a scotch, which I'm. God, it better be. then it's like, yeah, I like this. This is good. Yeah. But, you know, if I go in expecting like a sherry bourbon and that like big caramel and looking for that, and then it's not there, then all that really comes out is that harshness that, you know, scotch has, you know, sort of that peaty smokiness.
It does have a little peat.
Yeah.
Yeah, something.
So maybe it is a scotch. Maybe I'm full of shit.
No, I don't think you're, even if you're wrong, I don't think you're full of shit. Like,
I think it's all interesting.
Yeah. Like, I mean, if there's anything I've learned from doing this, it's that it's difficult, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they talk about like, oh, like, you know, smell affects taste and all these things affect taste. Like, so does your expectation.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh,
and I think that's kind of the underlying thing that I always want to get at is it doesn't matter what you like. Like, before we started recording, Matt brought up the whiskey. What was the thing you just brought up? The whiskey that he had a problem with? Tin Cup. We're talking about
how Shanahan's versus Tin Cup.
Yeah, right. And I said Tin Cup is nice. Like it's easy and it's and Billy brought up his whole pretentious bullshit where he's like,
he does that.
I don't want to drink it if it's not gonna be worth my time. Like I'm more important than the rest of the world.
That's exactly what I said.
The whole point is that what you like is what you like. Like if someone were to walk in here and be like, I like the scotch, in the fact that it's sherry connects us. And I think that's something that's interesting to share with someone, no pun intended. To say like, I like Tin Cup because I just like it, you know, like it fits what I want this to do right now. And it's annoying to people listening because none of these are Tin Cup, but we brought it up earlier because it's similar to one of the ones we're having. And I think it's interesting to say like your expectations really play into this. Like I think Mr. Pretentious Billy over here could be fooled into liking something that he would otherwise say he doesn't like
100%
because definitely. He doesn't know what it is. He hasn't seen the bottle and he hasn't paid $22 for it, or you know, in your case $88 for it. Also, that was one of the best things I've ever had.
Yeah, so good. No, I think that's 100% right. You know, and it does, like, it is not immutable though. So for example, I had this really great experience up in Paso where I was with, my fiance. You don't know that yet. So now, you know,
what a way to tell me.
Yeah. I should have told you when I was here, but I couldn't anyway.
Yeah.
Or when she was here. But we were up in Paso and we were doing this wine tasting. It was great. And I ended up buying this, bottle of, I think it was Chardonnay. I can't remember now. And we took home, like two bottles of red and this bottle of white.
From Law?
No, from the spinoff of Law, from Torin, from the winemaker from Law that opened his own thing. And the two bottles of red we opened and I was like, oh my God, these are so good. And I was really excited to open the white and I tried the white and I was like, I don't like this at all. Mm. And I was trying to piece together, how did we come to buy this?
Yeah.
And I don't know. I must've liked it on that day and it may have been, it may have been the experience.
They probably decanted it.
It may have been that. It may have been that it was hot outside that particular day. It may have been just that it was a really great day.
Well, and it could have been the order too, right?
Yeah.
If you had that first as opposed to after two big reds, mm-hmm. you might have been like,
oh. I had these at separate times. I mean, I literally came to this fresh. It was like,
oh, okay.
Taylor opened it with a friend. My fiance opened it with a friend. And I was like, save a little bit of that. I want to try it.
Yeah.
I wasn't home yet. And I got home and I was like, very excited to try it. And I tried it. I was like, I don't like this.
Huh. That's interesting.
Yeah. And I really expected to, you know, which in some ways is like a little bit gratifying because you're like, okay, so I'm not like totally, you know, expectation based.
But that's true. Like if you look at any sort of wine study on are people full of shit? The answer is yes. People are full of shit. Even the experts.
Yeah.
If you just random you know, scores for wine, would basically match up with experts' scores for wine, which is insane.
It's believable.
Like binomial distribution versus just a scatter shot nonsense. Nobody knows what they're talking about, or they're all subjective.
Oh yeah, it all comes down to what you like. Like that's like so. This thing has stuck with me. When I was in college, Kill Bill 1 came out and I was on this kick that I wanted to make our school newspaper better because it was terrible. Mm-hmm. And I thought the only way I could make it better is by like lending a hand as opposed to just writing them letters to the editor and saying, you're terrible. So I wrote this review of Kill Bill and essentially I came out of the review. My conclusion was it's not a great movie, but I loved it. And so I thought, you know, that's whatever. Like that's what it is. Mm-hmm. I'm in college, whatever. And the English professor, who I have a ton of respect for, wrote me this note and he copied the editor of the newspaper. And he said, this is not for publication. I just want you guys to know this. I'm like, the whole point of a reviewer is to give his opinion as to whether or not you should go see this movie. Mm-hmm. This review literally doesn't do that. It literally says, I liked it. You know,
right.
Which it stuck with me because like when you're in the position of authority, I do feel like you should say yay or nay. Right. You should give us like, should you? And then you should also know context. Like you should say like, well, I'm a kind of person who likes this, this and this. And I think this is worth your time. And I kind of feel the same about whiskey. Like the more I get into it and the more I learn, the more I like get into like the sherry and all of it. I'm learning more what I like and I'm also learning who I can listen to because there are people who I like watching and enjoy following, but I don't always agree with their tastes. Like for us, the St. George was a moment for me where it was like, I respect you a ton and I think you're amazing and I want to like be like what you like.
I don't.
But when I had the St. George, I was like, I understand that this is good. But I'm not sure that this is my kind of whiskey.
Really?
Yeah, it's
you
not
hate chocolate?
I don't like it.
Wow.
To me, it feels like somebody took artificial chocolate flavoring and did a couple drops in the whiskey.
Interesting.
But I get what you guys are saying.
Yeah, I also get that critique. And my response would be, someone should do that. It would be delicious.
I would drink that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
I spent $120 on that this past weekend. I finally found it out in the wild. Like a wild, like a Mewtwo. I snatched that up.
Talking about the St. George?
Yeah.
And the malt balls?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, I mean, I really think that. I think one of the hardest things just about becoming an adult and becoming a person as opposed to like a third grader is liking the things that you like because you like them and being willing to stick with that.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, like, I don't know. Sometimes I think back to third grade and it was like there was just this group think about what was cool and what wasn't.
Yeah.
And you had to go along with it. And
that's pop culture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now. You know? Yeah. And having those sort of moments as you grow up where you're like, nah, I just like this thing. And where you find the kind of moments of bravery to stand up for that. And then watching people generally respond well to that.
Yeah.
You know, especially if you can articulate a reason for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you were talking about Tin Cup before. I don't hate Tin Cup.
Yeah.
And I don't hate, you know, like cheap whiskeys and things like that. I just, the discussion was about things that are passable.
Yeah.
And when it comes to things that are like alcohol, I don't want passable. I want really good.
Right.
You know, I want an experience. And I understand that's not everybody's thing, but that's like my particular thing. Right. And so, but that's kind of the same thing too, to say like, I like a whiskey that's passable. Right. Or I don't want that. I only want this. Like, but to be able to kind of carry those, your particular, you know, attitude and mindset towards, mm-hmm. alcohol and then the specific alcohols that you're drinking is one of the kind of cool things about it. Cause there is so much variety.
Yeah.
Even within an entire table of sherry.
Well, yeah. I mean, we're only drinking five and like, none of these taste the same.
Not at all.
No.
Like even if someone with an untrained palate, I'm not saying I have a trained palate, could taste these and be like, these aren't this. These
right.
There's you no would, connection here.
Right. You would not confuse any of them with any other.
Yeah.
I always appreciate your point of view on alcohol as a delicious, delicious, delicious poison.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I don't share that. Because your point of view, no, your point of view is entirely singular. It's do I like it? Do I not like it? Does it have a, and what are the other benefits to me? Is there a social cachet attached that I can exploit? Is there a factoid attached to this that I can talk about and that will spur conversation?
Mm-hmm.
Is it a specific flavor profile? Whereas for me, booze is not just delicious and subjective, but it's also utilitarian. Like right now we're talking a lot more and it's probably not a coincidence that it's the fourth?
Yeah.
Third?
We're the fourth.
Third,
yeah.
Fourth? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, social lubricant.
Yeah.
I also really, really believe in value, like a value whiskey, which you say that about Tin Cup or whatever, but it's maybe because it's not to your specific taste, but Weller is a utilitarian whiskey. Weller 12.
Yeah.
It was
Weller 12 is so good.
It's so good, but it was should of be the so people.
Cheap. Yeah.
Until people said, oh yeah, this slop is really, really good. It's not slop, but this
utilitarian whiskey.
Approachable utilitarian weeded bourbon is way underpriced.
Yeah.
So yeah,
it's like the same problem with Henry McKenna right now. Like we had that at the bar the same night and we're like, this is fine, but it's not like worth $100.
Right. No. Pappy's not worth.
Well, no, that's going to the extreme. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I just had a realization that both of my contributions are in this size bottle.
Which size bottle?
The smaller bottle. And the last one is in the bigger bottle, which means we've had mine, both of mine, and I cannot pick them out. I have no idea.
So I might be right.
You might be right.
By process of elimination. It's not a scotch.
It might not. That might be the sherry. You might be right, which is really weird to me. And I don't know what's going on.
And I expect you, Billy, to genuflect towards me if I am right.
Oh.
You're Catholic. You know what that means. Pretend I've got a dress on and my name's Mary. The fifth one?
All right. That's a great transition.
Wait, I'm going to do one thing. So I do not want to put this scotch in with my infinity glass that we have going because I think it's going to disrupt my infinity glass. So I'm going to grab yet another glass and make yet another dish for Jack to wash and pour that in.
What did we call number four?
Scotch.
The scotch that is.
I have the worst naming. It's like, what do we call it? Boring. Scotch.
No, you know what? So I will, this will be a long name.
I like it.
There'll be a colon. Detective Sharp, a whiskey noir.
That's pretty good.
That's what I think.
I like it.
It's something I would drink at night from a bottle on a couch while smoking a cigarette, if I did smoke cigarettes.
Yeah. I do like that. I just went back and had another taste after a little bit of a break. Mm-hmm. That is good.
Wait, is this a small bottle or not a small bottle?
Number four.
Oh, this is a honker. This is the
We're in Tallboy Town.
Tallboy Town. Well, now I could be wrong. Now I'm rethinking my guess from last one. Yeah,
Everything's changing. So this is the last one. We've done five magnificent tastings. Well, we're on the fifth. Oh boy, I don't know what that is. So I'm sensing the through line again.
Oh fuck.
That's a good descriptor.
We're so descriptive. Jack's like, oh goodness. And Matt says, oh fuck. Listeners are like, I have no idea what this tastes like.
All right. So this one's got a sharper nose to me, and it's more aggressive in its like sweetness on the nose.
I always wait until Jack describes it to try it, just because I want to know based off of his description whether or not I like it. Like, I don't even know that I've consciously done that. But after his last comment, after the discussion we just had, I was like, yeah, I definitely do that every single time.
So to me, this is a platonic ideal of sherryed whiskey.
Mm.
Played as whiskey.
Not having a complete recollection of that $88 shot of Cavalon sherryed. This is a platonic ideal of sherryed whiskey.
This to me is sherryed.
Oh, yeah. There is so much sherry.
This tastes more like sherry than whiskey to me.
Yeah. 100%.
I want to marry this.
You want to marry this?
It is really good.
Last two are my top two.
Oh, really?
It's going to be funny if they're the ones that I brought.
It's like, it kind of reminds me of that, the Rumble Spirit that Matt picked. You know, and then you try it and you're like, yeah, it tastes like whiskey. You could fool me that it's whiskey, but there's something to it that is very not whiskey. I feel pretty comfortable saying that this is the sherryed because it is very sweet, very fruit forward.
Yeah.
It is great, though. I mean, it's really good.
Yeah. No, that's delicious. Okay, what are my tasting notes? My tasting notes are, I think, cherry, caramel, alcohol spike.
Well, it's got that sherry flavor, right? Yeah. That grape.
Yeah, the grapiness.
Yeah.
Yeah, really at the end, it has the grapiness. Yeah.
There's that it's not sharp. It's a, what did I say earlier? It's acute.
Mm-hmm. It's very adorable.
It's not many cutes. It's a cute, just the singular
just
cute.
Just a singular cute. Which many have said is Matt Cloud. I mean, he's singularly cute.
I'm like a male Zooey Deschanel. And if I took off this hat, I'd have bangs, I think. So.
Like, I don't know if that's a self-own or like...
It's so many things. It just so depends delightful. On how you feel it about Zooey Deschanel.
Yeah, exactly. Delightful.
Oh, man, is that good.
I like that. That to me tastes the most of sherry. Like, yep. We should have probably got a bottle of sherry.
So last two.
Yeah.
Here we go. The last two are going to be the two that I brought.
You think?
I think so.
And you brought?
I brought Stranahan Sherry.
Yep.
Thank you, Billy.
Oh, yeah. That was a
gift. That was a housewarming gift. And the J. Rieger, the Kansas City Sherried Whiskey.
Okay.
I think these last two are those. I haven't decided which one is which, though.
Okay.
So I brought...
I couldn't disagree more.
Yeah.
I really think you're wrong.
So why?
Yeah.
Why?
So I think number one is Midsummer Night's Dram, which is what Billy brought. I think number two is Stranahan's because of the cherry. I think number three is... So I bought a 20-year-old Kirkland blend.
Mm. Wow.
That's sherry cask finished.
Interesting.
I think that's number three. I think number four is the 15-year-old Bemore, which is the Scotch. And I think number five is the J. Rieger.
So I did not know that, what was it, number three. I didn't know that was in the mix. And that was the one that I wasn't able to label, but I felt pretty confident on number one.
What was it?
Pretty confident on number two. pretty confident that number four was a Scotch, and this to me is definitely the Jay Rieger.
So it's a 20-year-old Kirkland blend that's finished in sherry cask.
That is a cool thing.
Have you had it? Did you try it before?
No. I just heard that it was good, and it was in the price range that we talked about, and it was like attainable. So I was like, oh, I'll go out and get it.
Yeah, that is cool.
That's my guess. I mean, if it's not, then I'm really, I like.
Should we write these? Do you write these down?
We should.
Do you, usually, see who's the best?
We don't usually know the whiskeys beforehand.
So. I say it's also worth noting what we've had before, right? So I've had the Midwinter Night's Dram.
Yep.
This that I brought is my second bottle of it.
But aren't they different every year?
Yes. But I imagine they're still, I mean, it's still High West.
Right.
Which, I mean, I guess they.
It has a rye. There's rye in the bill. In the
is there?
Right?
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, they're blended in from other places. So, I mean, it could potentially change a lot, but you would think that what they think is good is probably.
Yeah. I mean, it's good, but they do LDI still, right?
I think so. Yeah. They do a little bit of their own and then they source a bunch.
I'd had that and I'd had the Jay Rieger on two occasions. And that's it. I bought the Stranahan's, but never tried it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It got it, college roommates and I got it for Matt when he moved to LA. But Matt never shared any of it with me. Get That's it? Puns again.
False. You came over shared... on my birthday and you had some.
Did I? Yes. I don't think I did.
Nope, you're wrong. I poured it for you.
You can't prove that.
And I poured you right. more before, but
yeah,
doesn't necessarily mean you remember it.
It's true. And I have had Stranahan's generally. Matt and I went to the Stranahan's distillery. Mm-hmm.
All right. Use that. Let's get some paper. Let's put money on this.
Yeah. Let's figure this out.
Not money, but let's put our pride on the line.
Put a dumpling on it. You guys have
phones?
Yeah, I don't actually. I plugged mine into your one available outlet.
One outlet.